The thought the Lord gave me for today is, "My Jesus, I love thee." And we have a song in our songbook. I want us to sing it, 163. The reason I wanted this song sung, because it has basically the main thought of this message this morning. And when we look at it, the words, "My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus is now." And I want us to really see what it means to be endeared to Jesus. We talk around Easter time about the sacrifice that Jesus made. He died on the cross that we might be saved. He gave his all for us. You know, when somebody does something for us, we want to really appreciate it, don't we? They make a sacrifice. We want to show how much we appreciate it. Well, the same with the Lord Jesus. He's done so much for us and he paid the ultimate price. There is no higher price that you can pay for anybody. No level of showing somebody how much you care about them than to give your life. Let's go now to Philemon 1, read verses 4 and 5. And while you're looking for it, the second verse said, I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. Sometimes when I meditate on this, it's almost too big for me to comprehend what Jesus did for us. The other night, I was listening to a message, I think it was Brother Marty, and he was talking about Jesus on the cross. He said, we don't really think about or talk about it, but he went through the shame of being hardly any clothes on. And he was saying, you know, it's kind of like, if I had to go through it, okay, I go through it, but let me have my clothes. You remember that? And I've thought of that so many times when I see the pictures of Jesus there in that shape. No doubt that was, you almost couldn't shame him any worse than that. And it even made me think of some things that happened with my mother when she was very low sick. And the shame she felt with somebody having to help her. And many of us, you know, if you have older parents and they get sick and you have to take care of them in ways that they have been used to doing for themselves, It's a shame to go through. And so we can only seem like grasp part of all the things that Jesus did and went through for us. But ultimately, he gave his life. You cannot do any more than that for anybody. Somebody have that?
4 and 5, I thank my God, make it mentionable. Of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints.
See, the thing is, this is what we want to have. We want to have love toward the Lord Jesus. I want to back up a little. In the Old Testament time, the worship that they did to God was, in a sense, it was ritualistic. It was kind of like a necessary kind of thing. It's necessary for me to go to the once a year and offer my sins, offer a sacrifice for my sin. Kind of, and there was a ritual they had to go through in order to do it. The common people had a certain place they offered theirs, and then the high priest was the only one that could go into the holiest of places, offering sacrifice for himself and for the people. But today, our service and our worship to God needs to be on a different level than that. And even when we think about it, some people, they say, you talk to them, you know, one of these fire and brimstone messages, and they might get stirred and feel like, I better get saved. You know, something may happen to me. I might be lost. That's good, but that's not good enough. It's good and it's accepted, but we need to have something deeper than that. And that should be our devotion to God, Jesus, knowing and the Lord, knowing what he's done for us. You know, how many of us parents, if we do something for our children, we want them to appreciate it. And we should have the same appreciation, even deeper, for Jesus, because he did more than any parent could ever do. And the least, the most a parent could do is to die for their child. But who would die for a stranger? Who would die for somebody that's not even caring about you? Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Let's go to Romans 5 and read verses 1 through 5.
Romans 5, 1 through 5.
Yes.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
You know what? When we give our heart to the Lord, and when we commit ourselves to be sanctified, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. It's not in one little spot. It's all over us. This love is to Jesus Christ, and it's to others as well. The Lord does that. He gives us that. And this is what he wants out of us. A love relationship, not just, boy, if I don't do this, I'm going to die and go to hell. You might die and go to hell for sure, but you need to love God. You need to love him. That should motivate our behavior and help us to do the right thing. And so when we enter into a relationship with God, with Jesus, we enter into it because he first loved us, that other scripture said, that song said, we love him because he first loved us. Let's go to 1 John 4 and 21 to 24. So let's not look at salvation as a drudgery thing or something that we have to do and we can't do it. If we don't do it, we're going to die and go to hell. That's true. And not only so we're afraid of what's going to happen to us, but let's look at salvation is a privilege to enter into a relationship to our dear Savior, who died for us.
1 John 4. 4 and what?
21 to 24.
And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also.
So it wasn't to 21. I must have got the wrong one. All right, let's move on. I tend to do that sometime. I hope you all will be patient with me. John 17 and 5 to 10. St. John.
And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them.
You see here, see this relationship? They are thine, and all they were yours, they're mine, and we have a relationship. When we get saved, we develop a love relationship. And that's why this song is so real, because we love God. You know what can motivate you to do the right thing? Is your love for God. You don't want to hurt him. You don't want him to be disappointed in you. You know, you girls, when you love your parents, you don't want to offend them. You don't want to hurt them. You want them to be happy with you. But it's the same way with the Lord. When you give your heart to God, when you really, really, truly enter into that relationship, it helps you. How do I not do certain things? It's not because I'm afraid I'm going to die and go to hell, but it's because I love God too much to offend him. And that's what he wants us to have, that kind of love for him. Go down, Sarah, to verse 22 and read 22 to 26.
And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect and one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. No. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Notice this love relationship with Jesus. Why do you think he went on to the cross? He knew that the Father wanted him to do it. And he did not want to displease him. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went there and he said, not my will, but thine be done. But he was feeling what he was going to deal with. And it wasn't a pretty picture. He knew. Sometimes we don't know what lies ahead. But Jesus knew, no doubt, because he was God's son, he even knew what the pain would feel like of the nails that were driven in his hands and feet, of the spear in his side, all of the things, the crown of thorns, all the things that he was going to go through. He knew that. And so he was bowing there in Gethsemane, saying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And the reason he did that is because he loved the Father. In this scripture, it says, I in you and they in me. He worked it. He blessed us that when we get saved, we enter into that relationship that Jesus had with the Father. So Jesus and the Father were one. And he loved the Father. The Father loved him. The people of God love Jesus and God. We all enter into that genuine love relationship. Now let's go now to 1 Corinthians 16 and 22. So when we have this, we get devoted. We get a devotion toward him. We're devoted to Jesus. When we do what he wants us to do, we do it because we're devoted to him. You know, a man, when he marries a woman and he loves that woman, he's devoted to her. He cares about what happens to her. He wants to please her. And he wants her to be pleased with him. It's the same way with the Lord.
1 Corinthians 16:22. Mm-hmm. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Maranatha.
Yes. Other words, we need to love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. We need to love him. 1 John 4:7-10.
1 John 4:7.
Mm-hmm. To 10.
7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins.
You see, God did this. He did it first. And when we enter into our get saved, he puts that love in us. We can love others and we can love God because of God. That means God is in us. If we don't love, then we're not of God. People that walk around, they hate and they don't love this one or that one, they're not of God. They don't have God in them. But when we have God in us, we're going to be filled with love. That's what makes us be able to tolerate with other people. It's love. Not just from a head knowledge, but from a heart, working of the heart inside of us. Now go down to verses 16-19.
And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us.
You see that? We love God because he first loved us. And if you'll notice, it's not from fear. It's not, there's no, anybody that fear is not made perfect in love. So our relationship with God is not based on fear. It's based on love. And this is a beautiful relationship that we can love him and he loves us and he puts his love in us and we are motivated by love. Our service to him, our worship for him, all of this is motivated by love, not by fear, but by love. So let's go on. Go to Ephesians 2 and read verses 4 and 5. So we're not under the old law dispensation where it's a have to and we can't do anything. We really can't do sin you must, sin you can't help and all of that and going having to go every year to present ourselves before him for repentance. But when we give our heart to the Lord, it seals it for us. We don't want anything else. We just want to please him. And we want to adore him. And we want to obey him. Did anybody get Ephesians?
Ephesians 2nd chapter?
2:4-5. Verse.
Okay. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
God is rich in mercy, in that his great love, wherein he loved us, God loves us, and we ought to love him. There's a song that says, I ought to love my Savior. Let's go to Ephesians 6 and 23, 24. You know, how many of you would like to, we'll put it on the level of marriage. You children don't understand this, but how many of you would like to be married to somebody and you feel like they really don't love you? They just hanging in there because they have to. Well, I married this lady, so I have to stay with her, although I can't stand her.
Been there.
But that's not a good relationship. No, you want to be in a relationship to where the person, when they walk in the door, you just adore them and they adore you, not despise you, right? Jesus doesn't do that. He loves us. He cherishes us. He doesn't look down on us and say, I can't stand you. No, he doesn't. He loves us. And we should love him the same way. We shouldn't be saying, oh, you know what? I sure don't like living like this. No. There are probably plenty of miserable people that try to live saved and they got that kind of attitude, but that's not what God wanted. When he comes back, he's going to come back for a better relationship than that. That will not be accepted when he comes back. Anybody?
Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity.
That's what we want to do. We want to love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Not just, well, my parents told me I have to do this, so I'm doing it. But boy, when I get out on my own, I'm going to do something different. That's a lot of times what children do, some children. That's no good. You need to really develop a real love for God. I tell you, I got saved when I was 12 years old. And from that day to this day, I've always loved the Lord. There was a time, I told you, when I got discouraged, but that didn't last very long. Maybe about 30 minutes, that's it. Then I decided this is not what I want because I love God. And that's what we, when you go to that altar and give your heart to the Lord, pour your heart out to where he pours his love in you. And when you get up from there, you have entered into a beautiful relationship with him. Let's go now to 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3. I'm going to move on.
You guys, Sarah, go ahead and read it.
Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father.
You see, your labor of love. What we do for God should be done in love for Jesus. I love Jesus so much till I want to do this for him and I want to do that. It should be a labor of love, not... You know, sometimes the Lord, if you're a minister, the Lord might deal with you, wake up in the night and start giving you scriptures. You could say, oh, I wish I could sleep another hour. Then I could get up. And I don't think the Lord would be very pleased with that, do you? Would you like to somebody to get up and preach to you that act like they wish they didn't have to? I don't think so. He wants somebody that's glad to do what they can for his service. Now, I want to move on a little bit. Because I want us to think about how there are people, if we look in the scriptures, I thought about two ladies in the scriptures. One was a sinner woman, and she was repentant of her sin. Let's go to Luke 7 and 36. Because reason we want to look at it, when you have recognized how terrible the life of sin is, and you come to Jesus with a heart that's sorry, and maybe the Lord has forgiven you for a whole lot of sin, it's going to make you be more devoted to Him. It's going to make you really want to please Him and to show how much you love Him.
And one of the Pharisees desired Him that He would eat with him. And He went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at His feet behind Him weeping, and began to wash His feet with tears, and then wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed His feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And when the Pharisees which had bidden Him saw it, He spake within Himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches Him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed them 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell them therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I have entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, and she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, and this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, but she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven.
Okay, you see, this lady had great sins, and she was sorry for her sins. And so this is the way she expressed it. She was crying, and with tears, she was washing His feet with her tears and wiping His feet with the hair on her head. And then she anointed His feet with this ointment. And all of this was showing how much she loved Him and how sorry she was. When you realize how much God has done for you, it will provoke love in you for Him. And the love that you have, the more He's done for you, the greater your love for Him. Sometimes people feel like they kind of have self-righteous and feel like they, you know, don't need much. But when you have that kind of attitude, if you give your heart to the Lord, you don't have the same level of devotion as a person who's been through so much, and they know that God has been merciful to them, and so they want his forgiveness, and then it makes you devoted to him. I was thinking about Mary Magdalene. In one scripture it says she, out of her, had been cast seven devils. And so she seemed to have such a devotion for God. When Jesus died, and on the third day, she went to the sepulcher. She wanted to anoint his body. She wanted to take care of him. But when she found out he wasn't there, it grieved her. And she started weeping. Let's go to John. This is the last scripture. John 20, verses 1 through 18. So she ran to the sepulcher, and she found that it was empty, and he wasn't there. And let's read what happened. I want you to see the level of devotion she had. She had been delivered from seven devils. You can imagine those devils were tormenting her. But when Jesus delivered her, she became devoted to Jesus.
John 20, verses 1 through 18. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and sees the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he stooped down and looked in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes lying, and the napkin which was about his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre. He saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre.
Okay, I want you to stop a minute. What happened to those other disciples? They all saw that he wasn't there. They left and went to their own home. But Mary didn't do that. She stayed there and weeping because she was devoted to her Lord. Read on.
And see the two angels in white sitting, the one sitting at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him.
See here? They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they laid. Can you feel the love and the devotion that she had toward Jesus? Read on.
And when she has thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her.
But you see, she said, thinking he was the gardener, Sir, if you bind him away from here, let me know. I'll take him I'll get him. Can you imagine this woman thinking that she could carry the body of Jesus, a man that's probably much heavier and everything, but because she loved him, she didn't think of that. She's just thinking, if you just let me know where he is, I'll get him, I'll take care of him. This is love. Because Jesus had done so much for her, she appreciated him so much that she had such a deep love and devotion to him. Now I'm going to read this song on 264. It said, I ought to love my Savior. He loved me long ago, looked on my soul with favor when deep in guilt and woe. And though my sins had grieved him, his Father's law had crossed. Love drew him down from heaven to seek and save the lost. I ought to love my Savior. He bore my sins and shame. From glory to the manger, on wings of love he came. He trod this earth in sorrow, endured the pains of hell, that I should not be banished, but in his glory dwell. I ought to love my Savior. Upon the cross he died. He, behold, the world's creator. He was the creator. He was right there when God created the world, and yet he was willing to give his life. My God, he cried. Oh, listen to those accents of love divine so free. 'Tis finished, my salvation. Thine shall the glory be. I ought to love my Savior. He pardoned all my sins, then sanctified my nature and keeps me pure within. He fills me with his glory and bears my soul above. This world a wondrous story, 'tis love, redeemed love. O Christ, I can but love thee. What heart could e'er withhold a love that cost so dearly the offering of thy soul? O King of love immortal, reign in my heart alone, and flood this earthen temple with glory from thy throne. And so I want to encourage us to really get a hold to God in such a manner that it's our love for him that motivates everything we do and say. Pray for me.